It's been about a month since Adelaide Writers' Week, and it's always interesting to see what books sold the most copies at the very busy bookshop on site at the festival. The biggest seller this year was Trent Dalton's Boy Swallows Universe. Yes, that book that I just keep talking about here on Arts News as it continues its stellar run. The remarkable sales for Dalton in Adelaide are made all the more significant when you consider that the other titles in the top 10, they're just about all of them are non-fiction. The only other novel to make the list in at number 9 was Jingjing Li's How We Disappeared. And speaking of popular books, the bookshop chain Dimmicks has come out with its annual list of its top 101 books as voted by its Australian customers. At number 1 was Gail Honeyman's bestseller Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine. Here she is talking about that novel on our show last year.
When we first meet Eleanor in the novel, she is 29 years old, almost 30, and to all intents and purposes, she is fine. She has a job and a flat, and she's living a perfectly fine life, as it were. But we find out more as the novel progresses that all is not as it seems, and that's the sort of journey we go on with Eleanor, to find out the extent to which she isn't fine and the reasons why.
Clementine Ford's non-fiction book Fight Like a Girl came in at number 2 on the list. That was followed by last year's winner Anthony Doerr's All the Light We Cannot See, then Marcus Susak's The Book Thief, a book that's been on the list for more than a decade. And at number 5, you guessed it, Boy Swallows Universe. There are a couple of classics in at numbers 6 and 7, To Kill a Mockingbird and Pride and Prejudice, with Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, and two books by the Australian Jane Harper, The Lost Man and The Dry, rounding out the top 10. Overall, there are 39 books by Australian authors on the list, which is a great result for Australian writing. In other news, the former First Lady Michelle Obama's book Becoming is well and truly on track to become the biggest selling memoir of all time. It's already sold more than 10 million copies, a really incredible figure. Here's Michelle Obama talking to some booktubers in a video for YouTube about how her family has responded to the book.
The first test was when I had my husband read the draft, because I wouldn't let him look at anything, because he was like, can I see the first draft? No, get out of here. I didn't want anybody's opinions or their worries to cloud it until it was out. And Sasha still hasn't read it. I'm getting to it, Mom. I'm a senior. That would be Sasha.
Michelle Obama there. Finally, in arts news, I want to take you to Flint in Michigan, America, where a book has just been returned to the library 51 years late. The book was Life of Charles Dickens, and it was last checked out on the 16th of May, 1968. Apparently, a woman found it while going through a relative's belongings and brought it in. Lucky for her, the library waived the late fee. Throughout history, though, not all tardy library customers have been granted amnesty. According to Guinness World Records, the world's largest fine for an overdue library book was $345 American dollars, that's about 500 Australian dollars, charged by the Kewanee Public Library for the book Days and Deeds, which came back 47 years late. In terms of the latest book ever returned to a library, George Washington might be the biggest offender of all time. He borrowed the book The Law of Nations from the New York Society Library in 1789. He never returned it. The book was discovered and handed in 221 years later. And there's an impressive record here in Australia too. The book Insectivorous Plants by Charles Darwin was returned to the Camden Library in Sydney in 2011, 122 years after it was checked out. That's something to make us all feel better about the overdue library book in our lives.